We arrived back in the States a little over 4 weeks ago, and God has been good, even through difficult times. Let me just start with our Japanese work. The Japanese work, even with COVID, has grown. We've had people start coming to our church because our church never shut down. We always kept our doors open. Of course, the government churches, they all closed when the government said you have to close. But our church isn't recognized by the government, so I can do what I want. But we continued to preach the gospel, amen. And just before we left, there was a young couple that had started coming to our church about 6 months ago, got their salvation squared around, and was able to baptize the whole family before I left. And so that was a blessing. I have 5 men in our church that I'm currently beginning to train for the ministry. And some of those men, you know, you say, well, they're all military. Actually, our church has evolved over the last probably 5 years. We're no longer predominantly military. We have an international work. We have not only the military, active duty, and DOD that serve and work in Japan in our church, but we also have nationals from other nations that speak English and come to our church because I don't speak Japanese. I can say Kohi wa doko desu ka, which means coffee, where is it? The important things. But the rest, after that, I get in trouble. But our ministry is all in English. And so we have a predominant Filipino group in our church. They work for Japanese companies. They are working towards permanent residency in Japan. And one of the men has surrendered to preach. And I'm just beginning to work on training him. When I get back, I'm going to begin pastor classes or preacher classes. With the 5 men. 4 of them are filling in for me while I'm gone, and one of them is out to sea preaching on his ship, the gospel. He's one helicopter pilot. He's got a small ship that he's on. The aircraft carrier has chaplains. Of course, they don't do a whole lot anyway, but I shouldn't have said that. I'll be good. But the small ships don't have chaplains on board. So he is heading up the gospel service on the ship and preaching. He's already got one young man that he's beginning to disciple on the ship. And so just continue to pray for him. His name is Andrew, as he's out there preaching. And before he went out to sea, he said, Pastor, when I get back from deployment, I want you to train me for ministry. So I'm looking forward to that opportunity when he gets back. As I said, we got back 4 weeks ago, a little over 4 weeks ago, and we hit the road running. We landed in Norfolk, Virginia, and drove across to Tennessee. I preached in 2 churches there in jet lag mode, but I still preached. Got back to Springfield, and as many of you know, my mother passed away several months ago, and not because of COVID, but because of some other health issues, and we weren't able to be here. So we're going to be doing a service on Saturday at the community building from 1 to 4, I think it is. Now the service is going to start around 1:30 if you'd like to come. I'm going to be doing a short message and so forth over there. But I wanted to go down and see my dad down in Brownsville, Texas. And God gave us the privilege on our way down to Brownsville to stop by Zeb, our oldest son. They had number 4. And Lisa was able to be in the room, amen, when babies, I've watched the grandkids. I said, you can go. I was there for the first 5 we had, amen. So, went down, visited Dad, and on our way back from Brownsville, we were towing a U-Haul trailer with my pickup truck, and we stopped in Corpus Christi, Texas for the night. I was preaching at Aransas Pass the next Sunday morning for both services. And during the night, about 2:15, according to the video, 3 guys got out of a truck. With less than 3 minutes, they were gone with my truck. Walked out about 6 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning, to get something out of the truck and went, hey, I parked over there. I know I parked over there. Why are those cars parked where I was? And my truck was gone. But you know, God always has a way of using even difficulties for His glory. And I had to call the preacher and say, preacher, I'm sorry, I can't make it. My truck's stolen. I got to wait for the police to get here and so forth. But I was able to preach that afternoon and encourage the people of the church there to Aransas Pass and encourage the preacher and so forth. And, you know, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And you say, well, how can that work out for good? Well, it gave us more family time. Amen. Hannah drove down from Dallas and picked us up, and we went and stayed with her for a few extra days. It gave me an opportunity to talk to the hotel manager that was just totally distraught because she's the one told me to park there, that it was gone. And she said, we've never had this happen before. But it gave me an opportunity to witness to her because she said, why are you so calm? Why are you just not all upset about this? I said, because my God's in control. You know, there's a purpose to this, and I'm getting upset's not going to do anything. Well, the good news is our trailer was recovered later that day, padlock still on it. So all the items that were left to us, my mother left my wife her sewing room. We have lots of fabric and sewing notions and things, but all that stuff was recovered. My pickup truck was recovered a week ago. Now, the interesting thing is there was nothing stolen out of the truck. They found it abandoned along the city street. Everything was still in there, including a shotgun that was under the back seat. I didn't get that back because the police kept it. They have to test it and make sure it's okay. I can get it back in about 6 weeks. But the only thing missing was a can of Barks root beer. Say, how do you know that? Because I have my case of Barks. I know how many cans I drank out of it, amen. There's one can missing. But you know, through it all, God's good. Our truck is now in Springfield at the GMC dealer, and they're getting ready to start the repairs on it tomorrow. And Lord willing, maybe it'll be back up here by this weekend. But through it all, God is good. And all I can say is, that whoever stole that Barks root beer, you know, one of the police officers, I witnessed to him a little bit, the detective, he said, I don't understand this. We've never seen this before where something was stolen and they never took anything. And I said, well, who knows? They may have saw my Bible sitting there. I have two Bibles when I travel, and one of them was still in the truck. And I said, maybe they saw my Bible sitting there, and they got into, saw the box of prayer cards and realized, this is a preacher, this is a man of God. Oh no, let's dump this thing. And they ran. Who knows? But I pray that God's conviction will be upon them, amen, for the sin of stealing. But you know, we all need to check up on ourselves to make sure that we too are right with God. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open up to Luke chapter number 5. Luke in chapter number 5. When I came back to Japan, I drove from Norfolk back to Springfield, Missouri on an expired driver's license. You say, well, how can you do that? I had a valid Japanese license. If they stopped me, I would have showed them that. Amen. But I tried for several months to get the state of Missouri. They gave me a waiver to do my renewal online because of COVID, but because I had a CDL, they couldn't get past the CDL physical that I had to have. So when I got back, I drove, and when I got back to Springfield, I had to have a physical. And so I want to talk a little bit about a trip to the doctor's office. You know, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 5, begin verse number 30, the Bible says, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here and the faithfulness of your servants here at Amboy, at First Baptist. And Father, just help me now, Lord, as I preach this message, that it could be an encouragement, but it could also be a challenge, and that there could be conviction tonight, that we ourselves, when we come to you, the great physician, that you give us the physical that we need. Father, just guide and direct us now. Help me as I preach. Give clarity of thought, speech, and tongue. And Father, just have your will and your way through this message. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When I got to Springfield, I had an appointment to go to this doctor to have my DOT physical. Now, you know, truck drivers have to be in good shape. Can't you tell I'm in good shape? I passed, amen. I got in there and he began to examine my heart. Now, when we go to the doctor, we always like to hear, you're in good shape, you're as healthy as an ox. But sometimes you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you some things just aren't like they ought to be. Kind of like when our granddaughter went to the doctor, a year and a half ago, and thought she just had the flu, had something going on, wasn't sure, and then found out she had leukemia. Now, sometimes you don't like the news you get when you go to the doctor's office. When we go to God, the doctor, Jesus Christ, the great physician, and he tells us the things that need to change in our lives, we need to take heed, amen. The first thing that the doctor checked when I got there, besides how heavy I was, I am a little lighter than I was a while back. Amen. Stepped on the scale, got my height and so forth, sat down, and then he checked my heart. Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 9. Jeremiah 17, beginning verse number 9, the Bible says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." How is your heart today? Do you have a hard heart? You say, I don't have a hard heart. I'm kind to most people. How's your heart? The Bible tells us, Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 7, again, he lamented at certain days, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Psalm 95, verse number 8, begin there, says, harden not your heart as in provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. And said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. The heart. A lot of times, once we get saved, we go, we're good. I'm going to heaven. But you know, our heart, even as a Christian, can begin to get hardened, amen. Sometimes things in our lives happen. Life happens. And people begin to get bitter with God instead of thanking God for the situations we're in. I always like to say, and I learned this many years ago, I say, to God be the glory anyhow. No matter what's happening. You used to do construction and roofing one time with Jonathan, the fellow that worked with me, and I remember hitting my thumb with the hammer. And getting up and going, ow, 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 praise Jesus anyhow for nerve endings that feel pain. And then Jonathan looked at me and says, you're a Baptist, Bill. You're not supposed to be dancing. But how's our heart? Do we have anger? Do we have bitterness? Do we have resentment toward people that's hardening our heart? The world is lost and dying and going to hell because their heart is for the things of, not for the things of God, but for the things of the world. Their heart can be fixed by the blood of the Lamb, amen. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold from vain conversation, received by the tradition of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as a Lamb without blemish and without spot, amen. He can fix the heart of the lost. Romans 10:9-10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. You know, I'm going to stop there for a moment. Because a lot of times we get so divided. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. There is no difference between Illinoisans and Missourians. Or like, I always like to tell people, we moved to the state of misery. Doesn't matter where you come from. The same blood that covered your sins can cover their sins. Amen. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. We need to have our hearts fixed, and when our hearts get fixed, we can see God. Amen. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You say, well, I'm saved. I always see God. You know, you don't see God as well as you should when your heart's getting hardened. When your heart's not where it needs to be, when our focus is not where it needs to be, we lose sight of our Savior. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation, it just means you can lose your way a little bit. When our heart is fixed, when our heart is the way it ought to be, we sing praises to God. Psalm 108, verse number 1. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. And when our heart is fixed and when our heart is focused on the things of God, we're going to have a burden for souls. Amen. Just like Paul did in Romans 10, 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. How's your heart's desire today? Saturday, when I do the service for my dad and my family, most of my family is lost. But they're going to hear the gospel. Amen. Just like they did with my grandfather at his service. And, you know, Pastor Fritz went and led my grandfather to the Lord just before he passed away. And I was so thankful for that. My mother, the last conversation I had on the phone with her, she was just there in the ICU down in Brownsville, Texas. And she called me instead of calling my dad on the cell phone. Her eyes weren't very good, and she hit the wrong button, and she called me in Japan, which she never does. But she called, and I talked with her just a little bit. But she had told me, she says, J.R., I've heard what you've said. She'd heard me preach many times. She said, I heard what you've said. And I know what you've said. And I'm just ready for Jesus to take me home. That gives me hope, amen. You know, she didn't say the exact words. But you know, salvation doesn't come by repeating a prayer. Salvation comes and begins in the heart, amen. I trust that my mother accepted Christ there right at the end while she still could, and that I will see her again someday. If our heart is fixed on the Lord, if our heart is strong like it ought to be for the things of God, we're going to have a burden for souls. Amen. Not only is our heart fixed and in good shape, but the great physician is also going to examine our eyes. Bible says in Romans chapter number 3, beginning verse number 10, the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There are none that they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. Poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, whose feet are swift to shed innocent blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This lost world that we live in does not see God because they do not know God. They can't see the goodness of God. But what they can't see is you. That doctor I went to, I had to do the eye test. He made me stand in the hallway and look down at the chart at the end of the hall, and I went like this. Now, it's been over 3 years, almost 4 years, since my glasses were changed. And I knew I need to get some new glasses. I'm looking at the eye chart, and I'm going, F, D, G, V, O, D, C. He says, okay, that's pretty good. That's line 7. That's pretty good. He says, okay, now take your glasses off, cover your right eye, and look at the chart and tell me what you see. Nothing. He said, what? I said, can you read the top letter? I says, actually, no, I got to get my glasses changed. It's been 3 years since I've been here. Cover your other eye and look. And I was able to read line 4. He says, well, with your glasses, both eyes worked okay. Okay, you passed. Hallelujah, amen. But you know, when our eyesight is wrong, when we're looking at the wrong things, going to the wrong places, sometimes our eyes are wide open, but we don't see like we should. John chapter number 12, verse number 40. The devil blinds the eyes. He says he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them. The lost, the devil is blinding their eyes. But you know what? He can also blind your eyes to stop you from seeing. Why? Because you look everywhere but to Jesus. Amen. Mark chapter number 8, verse number 18. Mark 8:18. Jesus was talking with the disciples, trying to get them to understand some spiritual truths. And they just weren't understanding. They're sitting there saying, why? Is it because we didn't bring any bread? I just don't understand what's going on. Mark 8, verse number 18. Having eyes, you see not. Having ears, you hear not. And you do not remember. Sometimes truth can be right before us, but we just don't see it. Why? Because we have our own preconceived ideas. Guys, you know how it is. You get something new, comes in the box to put it together. What do? Open that box, pull everything out. Here's the booklet that comes with it. Say it over there. Start putting it together. Everything looks good to me. Till Miss Lisa comes up to me and says, why do you have all these extra parts over here? I said, well, they always send extra parts just in case you lose something. She said, it just doesn't look right. I said, well, looking at the picture, I'm looking at this, it's pretty close. You know, God's not wanting pretty close. He's wanting what's right. And He wants us to see things clearly like He sees them for us. In our church, on the piano, up at the front, I've got this itty-bitty little Lego soldier. And then behind that itty-bitty Lego soldier, sitting on top of the piano, is a bear with big fuzzy hats that they have in England. The guards at Buckingham Palace type guards. And there's one of them little stuffed animals there, and then right behind it is a great big stuffed animal. Looks just like the other one, but it's a great big one. You know, that little bitty Lego person is me. That stuffed animal behind the Lego person, that represents our problems and our issues that we see. We turn around, we look at our issues, we look at our problems, that's all we can see. But behind our problems is a great big God, amen. He's the one that can see all things, amen. He sees better than we do. Why? Because He made it all, amen. Say, Billy, you're getting loud. I just get excited about the things of God, amen. We need to always remember that our eyes always need to be open. They always need to see what God can see. When we look through His Word, we can see His love and His handwriting here for us and the path that He has for us. But so often we don't want to look at what he has for us. We want to look at what I want.
But that's not what I wanted.
The truck that got stolen was a 2001 GMC Duramax diesel Allison transmission. One of my dream trucks. God worked it out that I could get it. Had it for 3 weeks when it got stolen. I started looking for a replacement. Can't find anything. Boy, the price of used trucks is going crazy. Lisa said, what are we going to do? I said, well, we'll just have to wait. We'll just have to trust God. We'll just have to figure out what God's got for us. I couldn't allow my eyesight to get blurred because of what some fellas did to me. I had to keep my eyes focused on what he has for me ahead, amen. I had to stay focused on the job that he's got to preach the gospel. The job is more, I should say the work, not the job, because it's not a job, amen. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. It's more than a truck. It's more than a house. It's even more than the thing that you claim dearest to you. Our eyes need to stay focused on the Master. Stay clear in your vision. And how do you do that? By staying in the Word, amen. Keep our heart and our eyes opened unto Him. You know, when Jesus was walking with the guys on the road to Emmaus after His resurrection, and they were just going, oh, it's just awful. Jesus is taken away from us. And they met this stranger along the road. They didn't know it was Jesus. And they're just kind of, oh, our Master's gone. Jesus is dead and buried. And Jesus began to open up to them the Scriptures. The Bible tells us their eyes were opened and saw Him. How did they see Him? Through the Word. How are you going to see Him? Through the Word. Get on your knees. Get on your face before God and get in the Word, amen, and you'll see Him more clearly than you have before. God opens our understanding. Psalm 119:18, open thou my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. If you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, and He's going to reveal things to you and show you things and teach you things. Sometimes those things we don't want to learn. But they are things that are needful for us to learn. The great physician checks your heart. The great physician will check your eyes. The great physician will examine your ears. He did check my ears to make sure I'm not deaf so I can hear other car horns and train whistles and that kind of stuff. Jeremiah chapter number 5, verse 21. Jeremiah 5, 21. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Jeremiah 7, 24. Jeremiah 7, 24. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsel and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backwards and not forward. Are you listening to the Word of God? Over COVID time, when things were all shut down, I know a lot of people went to... I'm going to get myself in trouble, but that's all right. A lot of people went to the internet and to get messages and get preaching. And don't get me wrong, there is some, and I use that word lightly, some good preaching out there. But a lot of people just went to whatever trough they could go to. A lot of people were listening to, oh, this person, that person, oh, it sounds so good, hey. But are they preaching the truth? Are they preaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ? Are they preaching repentance? Well, it made me feel good. There's an awful lot of touchy-feely preaching out there, but you know, touchy-feely preaching doesn't change anything. A lot of churches out there, come as you are, leave as you were. I had a man recently leave Japan to come back to the States to work. And he came up the day before he left. He came to our apartment. He wanted to see me and say goodbye. And he says, I want to share something with you. First time I came to the church, he had been in the church about 5 years. He said, first time I came, I was invited. His home life was very difficult. Marriage was in difficult situations. And he says, when I came, about halfway through the service, I wanted to get up and leave. I was upset at what I was hearing. But I stayed. And the fellow that invited me said, I told him, I said, I'm not going back there. I didn't like what he preached. And he says, well, why don't you just come hear it one more time? He says, I kept coming back and I kept getting upset with what you, and then I kept starting to realize that what you were saying was true. You know, we have to preach the Word of God. And we need to do it in love. Amen. When we try to share things with people, we need to do it in love. Let them know that we love them. That we have a heart so that their ears can be opened to what we have to say. If we're mad at them, there was a situation many years ago. Our one son worked at a McDonald's. And he was always trying to witness to the people there at McDonald's that he worked with. And there was a fellow who would come through and get a cup of coffee. Every morning he'd get a cup of coffee. And every morning there's something wrong with the coffee. It's too hot. It's not hot enough. It's not full enough. It's got too much in it. And it's just always something, always complaining, always fussing. My son knew who this guy was. The guy didn't recognize my son. He was an independent Baptist preacher in the town. And one of the co-workers said, and you want us to go to a church like what he pastors? So we can be like him? You know, their ears were open to the condemnation. They were open to the ridicule and going, if that's what Christianity's like, I don't want any of it. They need to see us living in a way that when they hear what we say, it will affect them. Showing kindness, showing love. I'm excited the food pantry is still going here. What an opportunity to reach out to people and let them know that First Baptist Church loves people and wants to help people. We do the same thing in Japan. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I guess it is, we started the Costco Bread Ministry, where we go to Costco and we get their day-old bread. Now, in Japan, just to let you know, in Japan, the mentality of the Japanese is if it is expired, it will kill you if you eat it. So the Costco pulls everything off the day it is supposed to expire, and I go over there and I pick it up. It's generally a shopping cart full of dinner rolls, bread, sometimes apple pie pastries, muffins, blueberry, chocolate chip. Oh, the good stuff, amen. And we bring it back. We set it on a table in the hallway of our church, and we open up the doors, and we allow the neighbors and the military folks and people that live around to come. And it has given us an opportunity to share the gospel and let the Japanese neighbors know we're not there to take anything from them. You have to remember the Japanese society is one. If you give something, you are expecting something back. If I gave you a nice box of donuts, do you like donuts? What flavor? Glaze, bless your heart, amen. I give her a box of glazed donuts. Japanese culture requires her to give me back something else that's of greater value than what I gave her. The whole society is one that there is no free gift. That's why salvation to the Japanese, they don't understand. We've got some friends in Hokkaido that for 25 years have been working on a translation from the King James into Japanese, because the only translation they have is more of an NIV translation. And they've almost got it done. And one of the people of our church is helping them with that translation. One of the things with the translation is, that's difficult is the Japanese language does not have a word for grace. You know what grace is? God's riches at Christ's expense. Unmerited favor, amen? The Japanese have no word nor phrase to explain grace because they don't understand it. They don't have it in their society. So over the last several decades, as they've been working on this, they've been trying to get the right kanjis and the right words to try to explain grace in a way that the Japanese would understand it. As we give the bread out, trying to get the neighbors to understand, you don't have to bring me anything. You don't have to give me anything back. This is for free. They give it to me, I give it to you. Just like Christ gave me salvation, full and free. Didn't cost me anything, amen. And you can have the same thing, amen. But their ears are closed. Why? Because culture says, that's not the way things are supposed to work. Are your ears open? Are you dull of hearing? Do your ears turn away from the truth? Well, I just don't think the Bible really says that. But you show it to them in the Word of God. And when they say, well, that's your interpretation. No, God's Word is not of any private interpretation, amen, the Bible says. We take it for what it says. When it says, I am the way, the truth, and life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, there is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to always have our ears open and attentive to the Word. Amen. To listen to what He has to say to us. We also need to take, and the great physician needs to examine our walk. Now, He had to check and make sure that I didn't have any hernias or I didn't have any muscle issues so I could be strong behind the wheel, amen, and be able to do the work of a truck driver. So a truck driver doesn't do anything but sit behind the wheel and drink coffee. You've got to have a strong arm, amen, for that coffee, the gear shift. But He wanted to make sure that my walk, He had me walk just a little bit just to watch my gait. He was a chiropractor, actually, and he watched my walk. Watched how I walked to make sure that everything was in alignment and I was in good shape. You know, God watches our walk, amen. He watches to make sure that we're walking in the right way. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How's your walk? Are you walking circumspectly? Are you walking uprightly? Proverbs 10:9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Proverbs 15, verse 21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. I want to walk uprightly, amen. I want to walk in a way that's going to please and honor God. And how do we do that? By getting into His Word, amen. We need to be walking the right path. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians 2, beginning verse number 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God. I love that. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, and quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Amen and glory to God. That's what I was. Now, some of you are old enough to remember me when I was young. Mrs. Brown sitting back there going, He was really a troublemaker, he was. But you know what? I'm not what I used to be, amen. God changed an old farm boy into a preacher of the Word of God. And it's not by my doing, it's by His hand and His grace. Somebody asked me not that long ago about being a farmer and you ever miss farming? And I said, honestly, yes, I do once in a while. I miss driving the tractors. I miss having that alone time out in the field and so forth. As we've been traveling, coming up through Texas, they were starting some wheat harvest down there And we drove by this one field, and there's a combine just coming over. And they get into the auger wagon, and I'm driving like this. 75 mile an hour down the interstate. I'm just waiting for that grain to come out of that auger, just to see it. And then God reminded me, the fields are white unto harvest. Laborers are few. You know, my heart, before I was saved, desired to be a farmer. After He saved me and changed me, my desire is to farm the soil of God's field. Amen. To plant the seed of God's word into the soil of the hearts. How's your walk? Are you walking circumspectly for God? Are you doing what He has for you to do? Are you making His word a lamp under your feet and a light under your path? Get into the word. If you don't know where you need to be or what you need to be doing, get into the word. Amen. Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your unreasonable service. No, it says your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove as that good, perfect, acceptable will of God. I want to walk in God's will. And the only way we're going to do that is to be a living sacrifice for Him. To get up each morning and say, Bill's dead. Bill, get out of the way. I want Christ to live and work through me. I want to see what You have for me. I want to hear from Your word today. I want to have a heart that desires the things of God. I like coffee. My mother-in-law left me a nice little Mr. Coffee pot in the camper we're staying in. And we're going to be taking back with us, and we're going to travel with it for the few months that we're back. And Lisa asked me how it works. It works wonderful. I've already made 3 pots with it because it's only a 4-cupper, amen. And I drink a lot of coffee, amen, God's nectar of life. But you know what? I also have to realize that coffee can get me amped up. But you know what? We need to be amped up on the Word of God just like we get amped up on coffee. Blueberry pie with ice cream. We get excited about things like that. I came back here, and the first time we went to a restaurant and saw the plate of food, I said, we can feed 5 Japanese with this plate of food. Amen. American portions are so huge. We need to always keep our eye and our focus on the things of God. Go to the great physician for a physical. Do a checkup with Him. Let Him check your heart. Let Him check your walk. Let Him check your ears. Let Him check your eyes, that you may see through His eyes and see that field that is white unto harvest. See the need of people. Have a heart of compassion. My life verse, Jude 22, and if some have compassion, making a difference. Is First Baptist Church of Amboy making a difference in people's lives? Are you making a difference in people's lives? You say, well, yeah, I've got my family, and we need to focus on our family, yes. But we also need to focus on the people around us. Don't negate those that are lost, dying, and going to hell because you are safe and secure. Let us always have a burden for the Lord. Let us always have a burden for souls. Let's go into His field, amen, and reap a harvest for Him. And let us always remember, too, that we need to be walking with the family of God. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now we all know verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as men or some is, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. But the verse before that, provoking one another unto good works, unto love. That's encouraging one another. That's striving to help one another. Provoking us. That's not getting you mad. That's taking and trying to put your arm around somebody and say, you know what, I know it's been a rough day. I know it's been a hard time, but you know, Jesus is there for you. When I witnessed that manager at the hotel, and she was almost there, and then the phone rang. You know, the devil's always in the electronics, amen. Right, Jeff? Devil's always in the electronics. And I didn't get a chance to finish talking to her. But I did leave her a track later. And I gave the pastor of the church there at Aransas Pass the information for her and the hotel and come back talk to her maybe. But each and every one of us have a field. Each and every one of us have a job to do. You know what that job is? Bring glory to God. All that we do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And the best way we can bring glory to God is to bring souls into the kingdom. Amen. And to live a life walking circumspectly, walking in a way that glorifies Him, and walking in a way that will cause people to say, you know, that's a life I need to have. I've got issues in my life. I've got problems in my life. Who are they going to go to? Are they going to go to you? Or are they going to go to the world? If we've been showing them love and we've been showing them kindness, they're going to come to you. That man that left, that he just kept coming back, he eventually grew through the preaching of the Word of God. Became a member of the church, amen. And marriage got back together, amen. Not because of me, but because of the grace of God. You got a problem in your life, go to the physician. I got, first Japanese word I ever learned was shunieko, which means shunieko. Glory to God. That's what shunieko means. Glory to God. You may have aches and pains, but you know what? The great physician can take care of those. Your heart may be aching over things that have happened. Take it to God. Bring it to Him. Pray. Seek His face. Does no good to fuss about it. I know. Been there, done that. The greatest joy and the greatest victory I ever had was just being able to say, Lord, this is in your hands. You take care of it. And watch him work. Truck stolen. All stuff gone. Lord, it's your stuff. If you want me to have it back, then bring it back to me. Otherwise, show me what else I need to do. And later that day, your trailer's recovered. By Wednesday, truck's recovered. And all the stuff is there. God is good. And God is good for you also. We just have to see it through His eyes. We need to hear it through His Word. We need to walk it in a life that is honoring and glorifying to Him. And let your heart beat for the things of God. Do you do an invitation on Wednesday nights?